This is Smart Tech, episode 1324, 10 Great Tech Gifts for Christmas. Ho, 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 and welcome to this Christmas episode of Smart Tech. I'm your host, Chuck Minear. And I love Christmas and I love tech. So there's two great things to throw together this week for this episode. The nice thing about tech is like there's so much of it and it just changes all the time. And there's so many new cool things. That's why I like talking about tech. That's why I like teaching about tech. There's always something new and something different. I've also noticed that drives some people crazy when I'm at work, you know, and there's an update to a piece of software, I go, oh, cool, there's an update, and I can see what else, what did they come up with, and how do they do this or that, mostly drives other people crazy. So I know that not all people think the same way I do. So let me take some of the pain out of the changes and give you what I think are 10 really great gifts for people or for yourself this Christmas. Now, most tech pundits would take hours and hours sitting down, putting these in the proper order, whatever. I, of course, as these came across my desk, as they came across my crazy brain, I just put them in a list. So they're in no particular order, but they're all kind of neat things you might want to look at. So let's just start off with number one on my list are gaming consoles. Now, you may already notice that I've cheated because I'm going to mention three gaming consoles, which I'm going to put under number one. So my 10 gifts might more fit into 10 gift areas, although you'll see that there are some individual pieces here. Oh, and by the way, all of these have links on our website. So if you go to the website, www.smarttech.tv, SMARTTECH.TV, you'll see these 10 listed and you'll see links to each of these items. And clicking on those links, they are affiliate links. Some of them are, some of them aren't. But if you go and you're going to purchase one of these, I would really appreciate if you'd go through our website because doing that helps keep Smart Tech on the air. It doesn't cost you any more money to do that, but it does help us on our broadcast. So anyway, back to number one, gaming consoles. There are really three big players in the gaming console area, Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo. I'm going to recommend the new Sony PlayStation 4. I think out of all of them, it's got the most nifty features. Now, the problem is that when you buy these different boxes, game systems, you really want to see what the ecosystem is that the person that you're buying this for lives in. I mean, if a person has no gaming console, then it doesn't really matter because once you get one, you kind of buy those games in that that work on that device and you tend to live in that device. But if they already have one, if they already have a Nintendo, you probably want to buy them another Nintendo as an upgrade unless they specifically want something different. But out of the three right now, the Sony PlayStation 4 really, to me, stands above the rest. I really like the power of it, the new features, the way things just work on it. But right after that is the Microsoft Xbox. The new Xbox is billed by Microsoft as more of a multimedia console that does a lot of different things besides just play games. So if you want something that might grow with you, although PlayStation has extra things on it too, you might want to look at Microsoft and the Xbox. And if you're a Windows user, you might find that the integration works better with Xbox and Windows. But, it pretty much stands on its own. The Nintendo Wii is in a transition period. I think that the new software and the way that the controllers work with the little screen is an interesting way of updating the system. But I think power-wise, it's not quite there yet. So although I think it's a good system, so if you're updating, you might just want to wait until the next version of the hardware to go with Nintendo. So for this year, Sony PlayStation, Microsoft Xbox. And I'm not going to go into a lot of specifics about them because we have 10 things to go through on this list, but either one of those will suit your needs well, and I think a person who's a gamer would enjoy either one of those. Now, most of us, when we buy, if you're not, especially if you're not techie and you're listening to this, and I hope I have a good audience of non-techie people, because the subtitle of this show is Technology for the Rest of Us, and I really want to be able to explain technology in a way that people can understand who aren't really into tech. But when you're buying a gift for a techie, what looks good in November when you're out purchasing gifts, by the end of December might be outdated. You don't even know. You know, they look at it and they go, well, that's old news. And you can return things or whatever. But the gift of choice, not just in tech, but in the world in general, are gift cards. So you might want to look at a tech gift card. And there are three big tech gift card vendors that you might want to look at. Number one is iTunes. iTunes gift cards are good because you can, especially if a person owns an iOS, like an iPad or an iPhone, you can use it to buy apps. You can use it to rent movies. You can use it to buy music. So if you're in the iTunes ecosystem, then it's a great gift. And what's nice about any of these cards is sometimes you can find them, especially around the holidays, at places like Costco or Sam's Club in multiple card packs. And sometimes those are a little less than the face value. So you can look around. Sometimes you'll find some deals on those. So you have the iTunes gift card. If a person is into Android, they have an Android tablet or an Android device, you might want to look at a Google Play gift card. That's kind of their iTunes store, but for Google. And you might want to look at an Amazon gift card. Amazon gift cards are great because you can buy hardware with them. You can buy software with them. You can rent movies. You can do whatever you need to do in Amazon. And you might want to look also, as an aside, this is not part of my list, but Amazon has a service called Amazon Prime. And if you subscribe to Amazon Prime for a year, you get like free movie rentals, TV rentals, and you also get free 2-day shipping. So if you buy a lot of things through Amazon, an Amazon Prime membership might be good as opposed to a gift card, although you could buy the gift card for the person and they could buy the Prime membership with that gift card. So whatever. But look at, once again, you kind of have to know the person you're buying for. If you don't know which one they would prefer, I would stick with Amazon. Amazon gives you the most broad possibilities of purchase. You can even purchase Apple hardware through Amazon if you want to. Then my number two choice would be the iTunes gift card, because a lot of people use iTunes even though they don't use an iOS device, so they could still buy music and movies. And the Google Play card would be my third choice. So number two, tech gift card. Number three would be a device that streams content. Last week in episode 1323, we talked about five reasons a Google Chromecast might be in your future. All these devices do is take information and shows and media off of the internet and kind of aggregate them into one place. So you don't need all three. You kind of pick one. And so the same type of a deal. If you're an iOS user, you probably want to look at an Apple TV. That's about $99. If you're a Google user, a Nexus user, you use Chrome browser a lot, you might want to look at the Google Chromecast. Or if you want the cheapest alternative, Google Chromecast is only $35 for Black Friday. Saw it down like in the $20, $25 range. I don't know whether those deals will still be available before Christmas, but $35 is still pretty cheap. And the third option is a Roku. And a Roku is a small box, looks like an Apple TV box, but it's a Roku box, and it streams all kinds of media content. The nice thing about all three of them is they stream the major services. I mean, Netflix, Hulu Plus, HBO Go. So if you have any of those, it doesn't really matter which one you get. They'll all do that. It's the extra things. So if you want to, like the Apple TV, for example, if you have an iOS device, then the best thing about it is it has mirroring, meaning I can be, let's say I'm playing a game on my iPhone and, you know, it's a small screen and I want to see it on the TV. I just hit a little button and all of a sudden my screen on my iPhone goes on the TV. And if I have a 60-inch TV, I now have a 60-inch game playing console up on the screen, or my iPad the same way. The Google Chromecast is cool because if you're watching something in a Chrome browser on the internet on a device, you can probably put it up onto the Google Chromecast. I like the Chromecast because it's really small. I mean, I have mine plugged into my TV in the bedroom. It fits in a spare HDMI port on the back of the TV, and you don't even see it. You don't even know it's there. Whereas the Roku and the Apple TV, you have to have separate, they're separate boxes, so they kind of sit to the side with wires running up to the TV. So, you know, one half dozen the other. The plus to the Roku, besides the fact that you can get into a Roku for like 40, 50 bucks, up to 100, depending on how fast of a Roku you want, it has the most channels and the most offerings. So if you like to explore, especially a bunch of private channels that have every kind of subject matter on it, then the Roku might be for you. So you have Chromecast, Roku, or Apple TV, any of those, and they start at $35. If you're not sure, get them a Chromecast because it's 35 bucks. So, you know, it saves you a lot of money that way. Okay, number four, electronic health or fitness monitors. And those are the things that you wear on your wrist or people put in their pocket that keep track of their steps, keep track of their activity level through the day, and help you plan some type of exercise program, diet program, whatever. They're really neat. Back in June, in episode 1313, that should be easy to remember, 1313, we had an episode called Using Tech to Get Healthy. And in that one, we talked specifically about the Fitbit. I really like the Fitbit. I think they're good devices. They have a newer version, which has even more features than the one we talked about in June. It's a little more expensive. But the three biggies are the Fitbit, the Jawbone, and the Nike Fuel Band. And so all three of those are good devices. They all basically do the same thing. It's kind of a preference deal. But those are the three that I'd look at. And like I said, we have links on our website to those three. So electronic health fitness monitors are number four. Number five might surprise you a little bit, but it's technology. A Keurig coffee maker. These things are amazing. If you haven't used one, you've probably seen them in the stores. You can get them at like Staples and office supply places all the way into, you know, Walmart, whatever. But basically what Keurig has kind of been able to do is to take single service servings of coffee and package them in a way that you would package ground coffee, you know, where they take all the air out, they seal it so that it stays fresh a long time. And so you can go in, buy these boxes of these little tiny cups of coffee grounds that are sealed. They last a long, long time, and it makes pretty much a perfect cup of coffee every time. And so you take this little coffee maker, they're small, or they can be small, you fill up the well with water, and you can have it in places that don't have water easily. I mean, you can have it in your office, you can have it in your home. I have one in my kitchen on the countertop. And if you just want a single serve of coffee or tea or hot chocolate, you can just pull out your little Keurig little plastic cup, you put it into the machine, and you push the button. In the matter of a couple minutes, you have a fresh cup of coffee. Now, there are other coffee makers on the market, and there's other ways that coffee has been made through the millennia. But the reason I like this is because you can have all different kinds of coffee, flavors of coffee, strengths of coffee on hand, and decaf, caffeinated, doesn't matter, half and half, and you can make those instantly. So I would really look, and you can make it well. Unlike some of the other ones where the, you know, little packets go stale or whatever, these I've had really good luck with. So a Keurig coffee maker, for those of you who like kind of techy little coffee makers. Number six, the Nest thermostat. This is an electronic thermostat. It's really easy to use. It's just a round circle with a menu on it. It was designed by the guy who designed that click wheel on the iPod, the old iPods, that wheel that you turn and you push the button in the middle and you're able to scroll through menus really quickly. This guy, when he left Apple, he designed this thermostat. It is the neatest little thing. The thing that takes this, and you can control this thermostat with your iPhone, your iPad, through the internet. But the thing that makes this stand above other ones that are electronic and on the market kind of do the same type of a thing is that it learns your habits. So it's got a sensor in it, and it can see when you're in the room, when you're not in the room, and it can adjust. You set up on your iOS device, you set up your menu, or you can do it on the Nest itself, and then it will alter that slightly by your own habits, the habits of your house. It knows, hey, they're not in for these hours pretty much every day. I'm not going to turn on the thermostat for those hours every day. It can also see when you're in the room and see, oh, look, there's somebody here. We need to turn the system on. So it learns your habits and it programs itself after your initial setup. And a lot of you have used such devices and go, I can't even get through the initial setup. This, I promise you, is as easy to use as an iPad or an iPhone. An iOS device is really easy to set up. So is the Nest thermostat because it was designed by the same guy. So you might want to give that a try. Number six, Nest thermostat. Number seven, one of the most popular gifts this year, I know, are going to be tablets. So which tablet do you use? Well, I would say out of all the tablets, the number one best tablet on the market right now is the iPad Air. Apple has taken the iPad, it has shrunken the bezel down a little bit and enough and made it lighter and enough that it really fits in your hand and it is just an ergonomically beautiful tablet. One of the things that Steve Jobs said when he first introduced the iPad was, because he showed it, and the first thing that out of many pundits' mouth, it's like a big iPod Touch. You already have those. It's just big. You threw a big screen on it. But what he said was, you got to touch it. You got to pick it up and use it because it's not the same. The bigger, the more screen real estate, when it's used correctly, makes for a different experience. And that's why they've sold like 20 million of these things around the world. I mean, it's still the number one selling tablet. I mean, other tablets are coming on strong. But unlike the phone iOSs, where Android is quickly caught up and in some areas surpassed iOS, although I think iOS 7 has, you know, raised the bar again for the phone, for tablets, Android isn't even close. It hasn't. It's basically done what people feared Apple had done, which is taken their phone OS and blown it up on a big screen. And so you'll see the apps when you run them on Android don't always look as good. They don't flow as well. They're not as easy to use because they're made to be used on a phone. Phone apps can be used on the iPad, but typically companies rewrite the software so that it fits onto an iPad. And it works different. It has different menus. So I would recommend an iPad Air out of all of these. But there are some other great tablets on the market that use Android. The Nexus 7 is Google's tablet. It's a good, really good, solid tablet. And if you want the most upgradability, I would guess the Nexus will be it because it's run by Google. So if Google updates Android, they're typically going to upgrade Android so it works on their devices, just like Apple does in iOS. You'll probably have the longest life as far as upgrading software on a Nexus, but, you know, who knows for sure. The Samsung Galaxy Note is also a fine tablet. Also runs Android. And the Kindle Fire is coming on strong. They have a new version out for this Christmas. They are taking on iPads head on their advertising, and especially the minis, and they're a really good device. I would say if the person that you're getting this for wants to consume content, I just want to watch movies and I want to read books, those are the two things I really want to do, then any of the Android devices that I just mentioned would work great. Maybe Kindle a little bit higher because it runs Kindle well. If you want to do more, if you want to create content, if you want to use specialized apps for specialized things, then you still can't beat the iPad. And so, but you're going to pay a premium for that. Number 8, portable Bluetooth speakers. You know, with all these devices, you still put in earbuds or earphones, or you listen to the little tinny speakers out of the bottom of the phone. What I've done is I've went out and purchased, because the prices have dropped so much, just a few Bluetooth speakers. There's one in my kitchen. I put one out in my workshop out in the back. So if I walk in with my phone and I'm listening to something and I want to work, and I need the volume louder in the room, I can just quickly pair it to that speaker and I'm listening to it in a better volume. Or if I have a party or something and they're outside by the barbecue, I can take that portable Bluetooth speaker, I can set it out there and play some background music. The prices have dropped. I mean, you can buy a Bluetooth speaker for $25. So, and they're small. And they have different, obviously you're not going to get symphony quality for $25, but it's certainly better than the Bluetooth probably in your phone or your iDevice. So for the price, putting a couple of those around your house might be a really good investment. And giving that to somebody who has a portable device might be a nice gift. Number 9, a portable charger. Again, we're looking at tablets, we're looking at phones, we're looking at things that run out of battery. So if you have a phone, they make cases now that have the batteries built into the case. It makes your phone huge, right? But it lets you run it all day or for 2 days sometimes, depending on the phone. There are devices that are just basically boxes with a battery in it. I like the device called a MyCharge Peak 6000 because the MyCharge actually has a little mini USB and a 30-pin connector built into the device. So Because if you take a little battery, you got to remember the cord, the right cord to go with it, you know, all that kind of stuff. This, everything wraps up around one little thing. It's small. And this is especially good for women or men who carry a pouch with them. If a woman who carries a purse with them all the time or pretty much all the time, sticking this in their purse is not a big deal. And it can give them an extra day's worth of charge if they just plug their device in, leave it in their purse. Maybe their phone is running dead. So they stick this, plug this in, stick it in their purse and wait a little while and it gets charged back up. So it's good for emergencies. And I just think that having one of those available is really smart. I have one for my phone that is like a case, but I don't typically carry a pouch or a purse with me. If I did, I would recommend one of these portable devices. And if you're a traveler, these are also really great. They can go into your bag. So I'll put a link to the MyCharge Peak on the website, smarttech.tv, but there are other ones too. I just can recommend this particular one. Number 10, the Elgato iTV Mobile. Elgato has been making these devices called iTVs for a long time. Basically, they go into Mac computers. They are tuners. They're TV tuners, and it lets you, and Windows has other ones that work with Windows well. They're usually cards that go into the computer, or they stick into the USB port, and you run a little piece of software on your computer, and you have a TV on your computer. The Elgato iTV Mobile plugs into the bottom of your iOS device. So they have a lightning connector, or they have the 30-pin connector. You can buy either version. It's got a little antenna on it. And when you plug it into the back of your iPad or the end of your iPad into the port, you'll see that this looks a lot like those little TVs you used to carry to the baseball game. So you could watch the baseball game on TV up in the stands. Those people would have their little portable TVs. But what's nice is it picks up the HD TV channel. So if you're in an area that's serviced by high definition TV, you plug this in and you now can run this, your iPad, like a TV. So it's nice. It's small and it can also fit into your bag and you can unplug it when you're not using it. Now, there are a ton of other things that I could have put on this list, but I decided to keep it at 10 so we weren't having a show that was, you know, 5 hours long. But these, I think, are really interesting, and they're all, I mean, you, the cheapest thing starts around $25, and it goes up to a few hundred for one of the gaming consoles. But most of my devices that I'm talking about are $100 or less, and I would say even more of them fall into the $60, $70 range. So there's something for everybody on this list. And you can also find other lists on the internet. Just go Google them. It's pretty neat to see people's different perspectives. If you have any questions or comments, or maybe you have something I should have put on the list and I didn't, go to our website. Let's have a conversation about it. You go to our website, www.smarttech.tv, smarttech.tv. You'll see the show notes there. There are links for all 10 of these. You can click to get to see. So you don't have to go searching yourself. You just go to the website, and they're all kind of there in a list for you to click on. But below that list is a place where you can leave comments. I would love to hear what you say about what we picked. Maybe you've used some of these things and you're going, Chuck, this is just, it looks good on paper, but be careful. I'd love to hear what you say, and maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode. So once again, it's smarttech.tv, smarttech.tv. You can also sign up for our newsletter, and you can click on our Facebook like page, and you can get Facebook notifications about our new episodes when they come up. We really appreciate your loyalty to the program, that you listen, and we'd love your feedback. So until next time, this is Chuck Minear, your host at Smart Tech, hoping you have a great holiday season, a blessed Christmas, and that you get to have a little bit of tech with your Christmas, because, you know, how could life get better? See you next time.